Oh boy, we are going to end the week with a bang here on the Bruce Hooley Show. Glad to have you along. We've all seen those videos, right, of dominoes stacked up, and then somebody hits the first domino and they start to fall. It's mesmerizing, is it not? As long as the dominoes don't fall on you. Well, the dominoes may be starting to fall, and unfortunately, they are going to fall on you. But the short-term pain may be worth the long-term gain, as the latest jobs report is out. Oh, we always hear from Joe Biden, what? Bidenomics is working. It's working. And he always cites the unemployment numbers, right? And he always cites the job numbers. And last month, the jobs numbers were 330,000. And never mind, don't dig into the fact that about 70,000 of them were in healthcare and 70,000 of them were in government, neither of which like makes anything or produces anything or drives the economy, which is why the gross domestic product number for the first quarter of 2024, released a week ago, was depressingly bad, almost a full percentage point under. And now we have the latest jobs report. And as I said, the dominoes are starting to fall, and they are going to fall on you and on me, but the short-term, as I said, pain may be worth the long-term gain, because maybe this will get Joe Biden out of office and get back in a president who understands how to grow the economy, and it isn't with government jobs and it isn't with healthcare jobs. A headline from Yahoo Finance, the U.S. labor market cooled notably last month as both hiring and wage growth slowed more than economists had expected in April. I know Corinne Jean-Pierre is really good at her job lying for Joe Biden, which of course means she's really bad at her job in terms of telling the truth to you and me. But I want to know how she's going to spin this. The U.S. economy added 175,000 new jobs, and the unemployment rate rose to 3.9% last month. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Wall Street economists had expected 240,000 new jobs. That's a big gap. My West Liberty Salem High School math tells me that's 65,000 jobs short, and they expected the unemployment rate to remain at 3.8%. Wages, those are kind of important to the average American family trying to deal with gas prices that are more than a dollar more than they were when Donald Trump left office in January of 2021, and grocery prices that are up 18%. Wage growth is kind of important to all of us. They rose 0.2% over the last month and 3.9% over the last year, but economists had expected them to rise by 0.3% and a 4% rise over the past year. So wages are underperforming. Jobs are underperforming. Gross domestic product is underperforming. And we always, after getting the numbers, get a month or so later the revised numbers. I don't know why they can't get the numbers right. Maybe it's because, you know, it's the Biden administration. But we always get the revised report later on. And the revised report for February, when we got the really, really, really good jobs report, right, of 270,000, well, as they say in the NFL on a disputed call, upon further review, February's job growth was revised down to 236,000 non-farm payroll jobs from the 270,000 reported previously. That's not good. Economists flagged revisions as important to watch, you think? As the last year has seen, listen to this closely. I know I've overwhelmed you with job numbers here and percentages and different metrics and all that, but listen to this really closely, because not that the previous stuff wasn't important, but this is really important to the case the Biden administration is going to make about soft landings and the economy growing and things are better, even though you knuckleheads are paying more at the grocery store, and please don't hold us accountable for that. This is really important. The last year, this is according to economists, has seen the average month's payroll gains revised down by 13,000 jobs. So what they've been telling you about more and more jobs every month, now that they look back in the last year, going back to April of 2023. They now know that they've given you, on average, a rosier outlook for jobs by 13,000 per month, which, let's see, multiplied by 12 would be over 100,000 jobs that they've overestimated. Oh, here's another sterling number for the Biden economists to spin. The average work week fell from 34.4 hours to 34.3 hours. Now, that's not that much, but what it indicates is a trend that people are working less, getting paid less. More people are out of work, and there's an unemployment rate that we get, which is, 3.8%, 3.9%, and the Biden administration always says, oh, look at that rate. It's the lowest ever. It's the longest duration of the unemployment, under 4% ever. There's another unemployment number that, as our friend Josh Pick from Aptus Wealth Management has told us before on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint radio show, and quite likely will tell us again tonight when we stage the show here on The Answer at 7 p.m., there's another unemployment number that tells the real story because, maybe I hope you're not. I've never been in this situation where you've been without a job so long that you just give up on finding a job, or you just retire or pull out, or you retire early, or you go on food stamps or whatever. The unemployment rate that includes the unemployed and those marginally attached to the workforce. So let's say you had a full-time job. It was a good job. It was providing for your family. And then you got laid off, or your company went out of business, and you went to find another job, and you can't find another full-time job, but okay, you can find 10 hours a week, so you're marginally attached to the workforce. That number of people in the workforce is not under 4%. It's not a laudable number that Joe Biden can brag about. That number is 7.4% of the workforce. So that's the real, actual. I feel it in my stomach. I feel it in my wallet. Psychologically, it wears on me every day. Unemployment rate of 7.4%. This guy is a horrible president. Domestically, internationally, morally, he's a horrible president every single possible way he can be. And the Democrats thought yesterday they could send Joe Biden out to condemn the campus chaos and he could make everything better by reading off a teleprompter. They jammed him full of Skittles and Mountain Dew and whatever else amps him up enough so he doesn't look like the addled, old, infirm, inept puppet that he is. And he, said some things that had he said them 9, 10 days ago would have been welcome to hear. This wasn't a horrible speech, but notice that he leaves one thing out.
We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people. Neither are we a lawless country. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld.
What he left out is how he's going to uphold that rule of law. What he's going to do about it. He also missed an opportunity to educate the idiots on campus. What would have been wrong? Nothing. With him saying, the students who are on campus at NYU, at Columbia, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, at UCLA, at USC, you're too young to know or too zealous in your co-opting of your minds by your professors to understand that the seeds that have been planted in your heads that have manifested itself in this kind of behavior perpetrated on the world one of the worst eras in human history, where Jews, 6 million of them, were murdered. And what we saw on October the 7th by Hamas terrorists, and the Biden administration has never said that Hamas is not a terrorist organization. They are a terrorist organization as designated by the U.S. government, which I think is currently staffed and headed by the Biden administration. What would have been wrong with him educating, emphasizing, highlighting how wrong these students are to be doing what they are doing, how wrong the faculty is that is leading them astray. That's what leaders do. They clarify, they chart a course, and they set forth, this is where we stand, this is why we stand here, and this is what we're going to do going forward. And if you get in the way of it, you are going to be arrested. If you are a student, you are going to be expelled. If you are an outside agitator, you are going to be deported if you're not a U.S. citizen. He could have done that. He doesn't want to do that. Because why? He knows it'll hurt him with a fringe, the furthest left fringe of his electorate. Because Joe Biden doesn't care first and foremost about what a president should care about, the safety of America. Jobs report out today. Not good. I sounded a little like Trump there. Not good. It's a disaster. It is. Wages are down. Unemployment revised. Soft landing. Yeah. Soft landing. No. Dominoes are falling. They're falling on you. But again, might be good long term if we get rid of Joe Biden. It's definitely going to be worth it. Here is Donald Trump as he arrived in court today. Starting strong with comments. This is what I like to hear out of the president every day.
Okay, thank you very much. They've asked me to speak a little bit about the job numbers, and the job numbers just came out, and they're horrible. And they're very, and I say that not happily, I say that very unhappily. But the numbers are horrible. It's just these people are destroying our country. Here's another sign of it. So as you probably know, before I did, the job numbers came out. They're really, really low, really bad. Our economy's bad. And now it's starting to show, so you'll see. And it'll only get worse. It'll only get worse. We've only gone one way with the so-called leadership. There is no leadership. But with the so-called leadership we have in this country. So that's number one. Number two is where we are now. We're in a courthouse instead of being in Georgia. We're in a courthouse instead of being in any one of, I would say, 10 states where I'd like to be right now. We have 10 states. We were already marked down. Months ago, we were marked down to be in Georgia today, where we're doing very well in the polls, by the way. But that's where we were supposed to be. We're supposed to be in Ohio tomorrow, and we're supposed to be in Florida on the next day, doing campaigning, essentially campaigning. So now I have to go through this trial day after day. The trial is... We are winning this trial. If we had a fair trial, if we had a fair judge, I don't think it would have even allowed this trial to take place.
Okay, we all know that. Once he starts talking about the trial and even the campaigning, it just lands a little like, okay, been there, done that, heard it before. But the job stuff was good. Was really, really good. This morning, before Trump even got to court, and he arrives around 8:30, 8:45, New York police, NYPD, broke into the student encampment on the campus of NYU. I used to work with a young man who went to NYU. He was very proud of going to NYU. He was Jewish. And I've often wondered over the last couple months what he's thinking about. And he's a big, huge Democrat, like the Democrat of Democrats, okay? Like the liberalist Democrat of all time. I've often wondered what this young man thinks now watching his former university devolve into an anti-Semitic cesspit. Here's Molly Line of Fox with how things developed this morning on the NYU campus.
A rough wake-up call a little after 6 a.m. for the demonstrators here at this site. Protesters roused from their tents, warned of arrest if they did not leave. The NYPD pretty quick here, very efficient, and cleanup now underway at this site. Over at Columbia, very interesting, in the wake of arrests, after the NYPD was mobilized to clear a campus building there where protesters had broken in, occupied illegally, the student editors at the Columbia Law Review are urging the school to cancel exams and give all students passing grades for their work throughout the semester, or as an alternative, they suggest mandatory pass-fail. They write on social media that the violence we witnessed has, quote, irrevocably shaken many of us, the events leaving peers unable to focus and highly emotional during this tumultuous time. Since April 18th, police have arrested or detained roughly 2,000 protesters during protests on at least 44 different college campuses across 24 states.
I'm just so sorry for those poor babies at Columbia and the Law Review. It's just left them unable to focus, irrevocably shaken, highly emotional. And they want free grades. They want free passing grades. Because, you know, if you give the Columbia Law Review students passing grades, if you cancel classes for the rest of the semester, and if you let them, you know, suck their thumbs and clutch their pearls, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that will fill the bellies and quench the thirsts of the poor refugees in Gaza. I mean, free grades for some entitled kids in New York City. I mean, I can just imagine the hungry kids in Gaza are going, wow, I'm not hungry this morning. What a bunch of snowflake morons. Elon Musk posted this Twitter poll. Proposed law. If someone tears down the American flag and puts up another flag in its place, that person should get a free but mandatory one-way ticket to the country of that flag's origin. It has received almost 1.5 million votes so far. 80% in favor, 20% not in favor. That is a great plan. That is a super, super, super good plan. Have you noticed, in addition to the searing accuracy of Megyn Kelly's assessment yesterday of these protesters, that they are kind of disheveled and not very attractive people? They look super unhappy. And my observation that they almost look robotic and zombie-like, that they also apparently have no idea about personal hygiene or the area around them. Like, have you seen these encampments? Really incredible. And they also, of course, have a problem telling the truth. Here's William Lajeunesse with the story from the West Coast, which starts with a protester from UCLA, where there's a train wreck of a site left behind by morons who adopt the view of this gentleman.
The students stood strong and did all they could to very, very peacefully resist this crackdown.
Well, that's not exactly what the evidence shows, right? Students were asked to leave, then fought police with fire extinguishers when they chose not to. Yesterday, all were released from jail for trespassing.
I think as I thought about this and I looked at this overwhelmingly messy area left behind. The story was the same at Hamilton Hall at Columbia. The story's the same at Portland State, where the library is a train wreck after these kids broke in and spent like one night. I mean, they just turned the place into a dump. It's a landfill after they get in there. And I thought about, how do we get here in this country, okay? And we talked a lot about the parallels between now and 1968. There was something in place in 1968 that's not in place now. That if we reinstituted it now, I think we could put ourselves on a course to correct some of this nonsense. I'll share it with you next.